Welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1048, I will air some of the remarks delivered at the Bill Marsh Tribunal, D.C., the case of Julian Assange. It was held in Washington, D.C. in January 2023. Julian Assange, of course, is WikiLeaks' founder who exposed war crimes committed by U.S. forces in Iraq. But before I do that, I'd like to ask for your support and contributions to KPFT, this unique commercial-free Houston's community station, because KPFT is currently in membership drive. And that's a great opportunity to upgrade your listenership to listener sponsor and become a member of the KPFT family. KPFT is mostly financed by listeners like you, and it does not rely on the corporate world to operate. So please give us a call right now at 713-526-5738 and make that tax-deductible contribution to support your community radio station. That's 713-526-5738. You can also make a pledge online at kpft.org. This station, KPFT, is unique in so many ways. It offers a diverse range of programming, like this program, Arab Voices, that has been on KPFT for over 20 years. Hundreds of topics and over 1,000 expert guests appearing on this program from around the globe. I interview guests on this program, and I also attend events and lectures, record them, and air them. Several radio stations syndicate Arab Voices in different states in the US and even a couple of cities in Europe. Arab Voices, if you're not familiar with it, is an award-winning independent radio talk show that aims at bringing the truth, facts, and realities to the wide and diverse range of listeners. It debunks many of the stereotypes, myths, and false information disseminated by certain media outlets, some politicians, and others. There's more information about Arab Voices, and you'll even find a list of all guests that appeared on this program, over 1,000 of them, on our website, arabvoices.net. There is also an archive section online for listening on demand to any of the previous shows. So, if you appreciate what this station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make a pledge of any amount, whether it's $60 or $360. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. And you know, with all the things that are happening in the world today, and the overwhelming information you are getting from different radio stations, TV channels, countless internet websites, and social media, you really want to understand what is happening and why. You don't want to rely on those commercial stations that are sponsored by paying corporations and others who try to push out misinformation. You want to know the real truth, and that's what KPFT offers. Please call now 713-526-5738, or if it is more convenient, use our website kpft.org. It is safe, secure, and easy to do. If you enjoy the variety of shows this Houston's Community Station 90.1 FM KPFT brings you but aren't yet a member, please join us right now and become a member. It's people just like you that make all that possible. Call now to pledge your support, 713-526-5738, or give online at kpft.org. Thank you so much. Julian Assange, WikiLeaks founder, who is being held in a British jail, was charged by the United States government with the publication of classified documents and exposing war crimes committed by U.S. forces in Iraq. Assange faces up to 175 years in prison if convicted of violations of the Espionage Act. In June 2022, the British government approved the extradition of Julian Assange to the United States to face the espionage charges. Back in 2010, WikiLeaks released government materials related to American military operations in the Middle East, including a video showing American pilots in Iraq making jokes as they opened fire on a group of non-combatants that included civilians and journalists, as well as on Iraqis who came to their aid, killing numerous civilians and seriously wounding two children. By the way, March 2023 marks the 20th anniversary of the start of the 2003 war on Iraq led by the United States that was based on lies and fabrication of evidence. And that war resulted in a catastrophic situation in Iraq that is still ongoing. And I plan on covering that during March 2023 on this program, Arab Voices. On January 20th, 2023, the Belmarsh Tribunal, D.C., the case of Julian Assange, was held in Washington, D.C., organized by Progressive International and the WOW Holland Foundation. Nearly 20 experts spoke at that tribunal, including Noam Chomsky, linguist and activist, Jeremy Corbyn, member of the UK Parliament and founder of the Peace and Justice Project, Daniel Ellsberg, Pentagon Papers whistleblower, John Shipton, father of Julian Assange, Jeffrey Sterling, lawyer and former CIA employee, Chip Gibbons, Policy Director of Defending Rights and Dissent, Ben Weisner, Lead Attorney at ACLU of Edward Snowden, Margaret Kunstler, Civil Rights Attorney, Stefania Morizzi, Investigative Journalist, and Jocelyn Radak, National Security and Human Rights Attorney. During this episode of Arab Voices, I will air some of the remarks delivered at that tribunal, and I plan to air more remarks during the next episode. Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, and Srishko Horvat, co-founder of DiEM25, co-chaired the tribunal. Let's begin with the opening remarks by Amy Goodman.
The Belmarsh Tribunal was convened by the Progressive International and the WOW Holland Foundation and brought to you live by Democracy Now! The Belmarsh Tribunal sits for the fourth time today here in Washington, D.C. to hear testimony from a range of expert witnesses, from constitutional lawyers to acclaimed journalists, whistleblowers, human rights defenders, and a dad. to the ongoing attack on press freedom and the First Amendment. The Belmarsh Tribunal was inspired by the Nobel Prize-winning British philosopher Bertrand Russell and the French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir and others. The tribunal was established in 1966 when representatives of 18 countries gathered to hold the United States accountable for war crimes in Vietnam. In the absence of an international authority to do so. Today, the tribunal pursues justice for the global campaign against the suppression of dissent, and it pursues justice for journalists who are imprisoned or persecuted, publishers, whistleblowers who dare to reveal the crimes of our governments. From Ankara to Manila to Budapest to right here in the United States, state actors are cracking down on journalists, their sources, their publishers, in a globally coordinated campaign to disrupt the public's access to information. It's not just critical to talk about freedom of the press, but it's critical to talk about the right of the public to have access to information. That is why freedom of the press is so important. A landmark case in this campaign is that of Julian Assange, the publisher who founded WikiLeaks, exposed crimes by the United States government, and now faces 175 years in prison if extradited by Britain from the Belmarsh prison where he is currently being held. Assange's case is the first time in history that a publisher has been indicted under the Espionage Act. Recently, it was revealed the CIA had been spying illegally on Julian, his lawyers, and some members of this very tribunal. The CIA even plotted his assassination at the Ecuadorian embassy under President Trump. Julian Assange made one of the most explosive revelations right here, not only at the National Press Club, but right here in this room. And we will show images of his news conference. In fact, on Democracy Now!, we interviewed him the following morning. Right here at the National Press Club, he released Collateral Murder, what WikiLeaks called this videotape, which showed harrowing footage of a U.S. Apache helicopter assassinating civilians and journalists in Iraq. I want to talk about that moment, that crime that was documented, not by peace activists on the ground, but by the military itself. The footage coming from the Apache helicopter itself. It was July 12th, 2007. An area of Baghdad called New Baghdad, men were walking by below the helicopter unit. They called back to base, the soldiers in the Apache helicopter. They weren't rogue. They asked for permission to engage, and they opened fire. They killed Iraqi civilians and two Reuters journalists, Namir Nur Eldin, an up-and-coming 22-year-old videographer, and his driver, the Iraqi Saeed Shema, father of four. Saeed didn't die immediately. He was crawling away, having been injured. A white van pulls up, a dad with his two kids taking them to school. The helicopter blows up the van as well as kills Saeed Shema. The kids are critically injured. Now, I dare say this would never have happened if 6 months before, in February of 2007, something that appeared in the Iraq war logs that WikiLeaks released had been exposed at the time. why standing up for press freedom, free flow of information is so important. It was then that the same helicopter unit, Apache unit flying overhead, saw two men below. They were putting up their hands in a surrender sign. They called back to base. They spoke to the lawyer, and they got permission to attack, and they killed them. People gasp in this room, as anyone would. And if we knew that at the time, if we had that information, why it's so critical to have, I dare say an investigation would have been launched. And what happened 6 months later in New Baghdad with that attack that Reuters had appealed for years under the Freedom of Information Act to get that video to find out what happened to their staff and were denied, I dare say that attack would not have happened because we would have known about it before. That's why freedom of the press, the free flow of information, saves lives. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. President Joseph Biden has continued to enforce the stance of the Trump administration before him, calling for Assange's extradition. U.S. Congress and the White House otherwise have remained largely silent. Although belatedly, the New York Times, The Guardian, El País, Der Spiegel, and Le Monde have called for the Biden administration to drop the charges. Today, we're going to hear from an illustrious group of people, including the British parliamentarian Jeremy Corbyn, Noam. We'll be hearing in person and also in video going back and forth, Noam Chomsky, the Italian journalist Stefania Maurizi, Daniel Ellsberg, the world's most famous whistleblower, the critically important Betty Metzger, who exposed COINTELPRO. I wonder if she was doing this today, if she would be in prison. Steve Donziger, who knows about prison, the U.S. attorney, and more. But first, I'm going to introduce the co-chair of today's panel, Srećko Horvat.
Thanks a lot, Amy. It is a great honor to be here today at the National Press Club, at the very place where a very courageous publisher, one of the most courageous publishers in the world and our contemporary history, revealed American war crimes. WikiLeaks revealed war crimes, and Julian Assange is for almost 4 years in prison, in a prison which is called Belmarsh Prison, while those who committed the war crimes are still free. I come from a country which unfortunately had the experience of a bloody war, namely ex-Yugoslavia. And, you know, Collateral Murder was published in 2007. Now it's 15 years. It was published in 2010, but the atrocities happened in 2007. And now it's 15 years since that crime. And I don't know whether anyone ended up in prison or if anyone was charged or convicted. In ex-Yugoslavia, 15 years after the war, some war criminals actually were convicted. Some died in prison, some are still free, some are unfortunately still in power. In the United States, no one was convicted, some died without being charged or convicted. Most of the war criminals of these war crimes, which you could have seen in Collateral Murder and other publications of WikiLeaks, are still free, and others are powerful members of your society. And this is the reason why the Belmarsh Tribunal is coming to Washington, D.C., just two blocks away from the White House. It's called Belmarsh, as you can imagine, because we called it after the prison where Julian Assange is still being held. We had several tribunals already, one in London, one in New York City. Members of the tribunal included Edward Snowden, another hero, Rafael Correa, President Lula, Yanis Varoufakis, and many others. Today, we are here two blocks from the White House to focus on the crimes of the U.S. government committed against the freedom of press, against journalism, against the First Amendment, and against Julian Assange. It is the first time that a publisher is being charged under this very anachronistic law, namely the Espionage Act, which comes, as you know better than me, from 1917, you know, which is a wartime document. And you think your country is progressive, you know. You still have a law which is like more than 100 years old from the First World War. I mean, I have to say that as an outsider to this country. It's really, it's, as Bertolt Brecht said, it's very, it, a country is sad which needs heroes. And the United States is really sad if someone like me has to come from Croatia to talk about the First Amendment. It's... As you know, Julian Assange has been targeted by the most powerful institutions in the world, by American institutions, by the CIA, by the NSA, and by the Pentagon, who plotted to kill him or to kidnap him from British soil. And after 12 years of persecution, almost 4 years in prison, of what the United Nations characterized as arbitrary detention, he now faces 175 years in a supermax prison in the United States. For what? For publishing the truth, for publishing facts about war crimes of your government, for publishing the truth and secrets about the CIA program of surveillance of you, my dear fellow American citizens. So we are here today, among other reasons, to remind President Biden of what the presidential candidate Biden said in 2020. Quote, "Reporters Without Borders tell us that at least 360 people worldwide are currently imprisoned for their work in journalism. We all stand in solidarity with these journalists, for, as Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1786, quote, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. Now, I'm not really a big fan of Jefferson, given the fact that the same guy you Americans celebrate even today owned more than 600 slaves. And in the same way Jefferson was nominally opposed to slavery but owned slaves, President Biden is normally advocating freedom of press but at the same time continuing the persecution of Julian Assange. Today, we gathered in Washington, D.C. to demand President Biden to drop the charges against Julian Assange. If he really wants to protect freedom of press and the First Amendment. In the meantime, while Julian Assange is still in prison, all major newspapers of the world have demanded the same, to drop the charges. The Guardian, The New York Times, Spiegel, El País, and Le Monde. All major human rights organizations demanded the same, to drop the charges. And even the United Nations called Julian Assange prolonged detention torture. I'm honored to be co-chairing today's tribunal with Amy Goodman, a great source of inspiration, and I'm happy to welcome all the members of our tribunal and you, the audience who is here in a big number, and everyone who is watching us today. And by this, I officially proclaim the tribunal launched. Thanks a lot.
We'll move right into the tribunal members. Ben Wisner is the director of the ACLU's Speech Privacy and Technology Project. He's been at the ACLU for 20 years, has worked at the intersection of civil liberties and national security, litigating numerous cases involving airport security policies, government watch lists, surveillance practices, targeted killing, and torture. He's testified before Congress as an adjunct professor at New York University School of Law. And since 2013, Ben Wisner has been the principal legal advisor to NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. Ben.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, friends, for being here in this room today to talk about this most important case. About a half a century ago, in fact, the very week that I was born, just a few blocks from here, the Supreme Court heard and then decided the case of the Pentagon Papers, and we'll all be hearing from the Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg a little bit later this afternoon. In the half century that has passed from then until that now, there has been no greater threat to press freedom than United States versus Julian Assange. And you'll hear quite a bit today about the freedom of the man. My comments will be about the freedom of the press to fulfill its necessary constitutional role in any democracy. No government in any kind of system will voluntarily disclose its own crimes. For that, we need brave sources who have firsthand evidence, and we need a free press and brave publishers who are willing to bring this information to the people to whom it belongs. Now, in this case, the government characterizes that collaboration between a courageous source and a courageous publisher as a conspiracy. Of course it was a conspiracy. Good investigative journalism is always a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy to end the monopoly on information that governments control and to give people the seat at the table that they must have in order for us to be able to judge powerful people and hold them accountable. But this is the first time, as you've heard already today, under the century-long history of the Espionage Act, that the government has charged this kind of collaboration as a criminal conspiracy. And this is vitally important. Remember, without sources like Chelsea Manning, like Edward Snowden, without publishers like WikiLeaks and the partners that it worked with to bring this information forward, what would we have not have known? Just over the course of my career, we would not have known that prisoners were tortured and sexually humiliated at Abu Ghraib. We would not have known that the CIA set up an archipelago of dungeons where people were held incommunicado and subjected to barbaric treatment. We wouldn't have known that any innocent person ever died in a drone strike. We wouldn't have known that governments developed and deployed systems of mass surveillance without the consent or knowledge of the public. These are all things that governments classified at the absolute highest level of secrecy, and yet can anyone really say that the public in a democracy doesn't have a right to know or a need to know any of the things that I have just said? If this prosecution goes forward and ends in conviction, it will be a very dark day for press freedom in the United States. The prosecution has already had a chilling effect in newsrooms around the country. The lawyers for publications are already assessing the risks of publishing certain information in a way that they never had before. But let's not just focus on the threat to press freedom in the United States, because this is an attack on press freedom globally. And that's because the United States is advancing what I think is really the extraordinary claim that it can impose U.S. criminal secrecy laws on a foreign publisher who is publishing outside the United States. Let's think about that for a second. Let's linger on that for a second. This is opening an incredible Pandora's box. Every country has secrecy laws. Some countries have very draconian secrecy laws. If those countries try to extradite New York Times reporters and publishers to those countries for publishing their secrets, we would cry foul, and rightly so. Does this administration want to be the first to establish the global precedent that countries can demand the extradition of foreign reporters and publishers for violating their own laws? I truly hope not. And let me wrap up by saying that a country in which a publisher has been extradited and imprisoned for publishing truthful information will be a very different country than the one that we have lived in our whole lives. And let's make sure that we do everything possible to make sure that we don't become that country. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. What we are listening to are some of the remarks delivered at the Belmarsh Tribunal, D.C., the case of Julian Assange, held in Washington, D.C. in January 2023, organized by Progressive International and the WOW Holland Foundation. Julian Assange is WikiLeaks' founder, who exposed war crimes committed by U.S. forces in Iraq. Shortly, we will continue listening to more remarks delivered at that tribunal. But I'd like to remind you that KPFT, Houston's community station, is currently in fund drive, and because KPFT relies on your support to operate, I am asking you to please call us right now and make a tax-deductible contribution. During this membership drive, please make a gift in support of the wide variety of shows that matters more than ever on KPFT. Please give online at kpft.org or call 713-526-5738. Members are the single most important source of funding for 90.1 FM KPFT. Why don't you call right now to make your membership investment and become a part of that important source? 713-526-5738, or you can give online at kpft.org. And if you make your membership a sustaining one, you'll be supporting the station for years to come. 713-526-5738 or kpft.org. We greatly appreciate the support. Please make that call and make it now. This program, Arab Voices, has been on KPFT for over 20 years, coming to you every week, covering various topics. I've interviewed over 1,000 expert guests on this program from all over the globe. I interview guests, and I also attend events and lectures, record them, and air them on this program. Several radio stations actually syndicate Arab Voices in different cities in the U.S. and even in a couple of cities in Europe. So if you appreciate what the station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make it now. Make a pledge of any amount, $60, $100, $120, $360. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. Let's continue listening to more remarks delivered at the Belmarsh Tribunal, D.C., the case of Julian Assange, held in Washington, D.C. in January 2023, organized by Progressive International and the WOW Holland Foundation. Julian Assange is WikiLeaks' founder who exposed war crimes committed by U.S. forces in Iraq.
It is my great pleasure to announce the next speaker, Jeffrey Sterling, who is an American lawyer and former CIA employee who was arrested, charged, and convicted of violating the Espionage Act. Please, Jeffrey, join the stage.
It is an absolute honor to be here today, here at the Press Club. Or years ago, my wife spoke on my behalf about the injustice that happened to me. I spent 2.5 years in prison after being wrongfully convicted on no evidence of violating the Espionage Act. It was a travesty of a trial. And that sentence was held up as a shining example of the reasonableness and fairness that Julian Assange will face being tried here for violating that same Espionage Act. I remain sickened to this day that my persecution was held up as the benchmark of what Julian Assange is going to face in trial here. Of course, the benchmarks they did not talk about include my experience fighting against the Espionage Act, a biased criminal justice system, and the realities of being behind bars here in the United States. I can tell you that any claims of fair or humane treatment in store for Julian Assange here within our criminal justice system and prisons were outright lies. But I would like to focus on the law that Julian Assange is supposedly violated. First and foremost, it is virtually impossible to defend against the Espionage Act. Truth is no defense. In fact, any defense related to truth will be prohibited. In addition, he won't have access to any of the so-called evidence used against him. And to make it even more difficult, the government doesn't have to show any harm. It is a law and prosecution in which the government says what it wants. It's a because we say so law, not to be questioned, not to be challenged. The trial will be nothing more than an affirmation and continuation of the character assassination that the government has launched against Julian Assange from the moment that he spoke up. So, but what are we really talking about here? I mean, what is this law, the Espionage Act, that he's accused of violating and that I was accused of violating? You know, we're led to believe that Julian and other whistleblowers are threats to the national security of this country, hence being charged with violating the Espionage Act. But I'm living proof of what national security actually means here in the United States. Here's a real benchmark they don't tell you about. In my example, I sued the CIA for racial discrimination because they said I was too big and black to serve my country. According to the government in that instance, and upheld by the same courts that they're intending to try Julian Assange, was that a black man fighting for his constitutional rights is a threat to national security. Not a surprise, really. One of the original and enduring threats to the national security of this country is and has always been African Americans. And to punish me as an African American for having the audacity to sue the CIA, I was falsely accused of and put on trial for violating the Espionage Act, and by default, our national security. The only evidence needed to convict me was the color of my skin. Julian won't be afforded any so-called constitutional rights that I had. What chance is he going to have to fight against these charges of violating the Espionage Act? Now, when I think about how national security dictated that I can be blatantly discriminated against, it painfully reminds me of the horrors of slavery and the laws that were designed to preserve it. When examining the Espionage Act and how it's being used, it's not unreasonable to be reminded of the anti-literacy laws that were enforced during slavery in this country. Those laws were used to prevent educating slaves because of the fear that an educated slave population would threaten the nation's security. Keeping us uneducated and ignorant was a tenet of national security then, and we see the same thing with how the Espionage Act is being used now against whistleblowers and against Julian Assange. Truly, the more things change, the more they stay the same. When we look at it, the Espionage Act is no different than those anti-slavery laws. They both represent, and they are the very embodiment of white supremacism that has always been a part of the identity and governance of this country. The Espionage Act has not been used to fight espionage. It's being used against whistleblowers and Julian Assange to keep the subjugated ignorant of its wrongdoings and illegalities in order to maintain its hold on authority, all in the name of national security. I mean, think about it. None of the Espionage Act prosecutions have or are even allowed to examine the truth of the matter brought to light by the whistleblower. The focus is always only on what was done for the sake of education and accountability. The white slave owners knew the truth. An educated slave won't be a slave for long. That is what this Espionage Act is about. What this endless persecution of Assange and whistleblowers everywhere has always been about, all in the name, again, of national security. And thanks to complicity, like from the United Kingdom, who has been all too willing to serve Julian up to the US, that same ideology is expanding beyond the bounds of slavery and fomenting racial discord in this country to reach perceived threats anywhere under perfidious claims of national security. I think it compelling that this tribunal is happening the same week that the nation celebrates the life and work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. When he said in the letter from a Birmingham jail that one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws, he was talking about laws like the Espionage Act. What makes the Espionage Act unjust is that it is not being used to protect this nation. It does not apply to the power brokers in this nation. It is being used to keep us all slaves. It is therefore an unjust law and should be disobeyed. The most immediate and meaningful way this wrongful law can be disobeyed is by the release of Julian Assange. The U.S. government has already demonstrated a boundless intent to persecute those who dare reveal its transgressions, and it won't end with Julian Assange. Free the man. None of us will be free until he is released and the Espionage Act is abolished. Set the man free. Thank you.
I'm really happy that I can now announce our next member of tribunal, Margaret Kunstler, the legendary American civil rights attorney who has spent her whole career providing support and protecting the rights of activists. She was the co-chair of the Belmarsh Tribunal together with me in New York City, but this time she's coming to this stage, to this room, to Washington, D.C., as a witness to speak about the lawsuit against the CIA. Please, Margaret, join us.
Well, I'm not only deeply involved in this lawsuit as a witness, but I am deeply involved in this lawsuit as a plaintiff. And there are many people who, perhaps who are not with us today, who would be very happy to hear that the name of the lawsuit was Kunstler against Pompeo. And one of the major things, this is going to be a narrow topic, so I hope you'll understand that this is not a massive defense of Julian. But this is a lawsuit that we hope will, in fact, be one of the major ingredients about why the United States cannot try Julian in this country. They cannot try Julian in this country because they've overdone their misconduct. They've engaged in the level of misconduct in interfering in the defense of Julian Assange that cannot be tolerated. And it's brought in this country so that people can understand just the tip of the iceberg about what has been done to Julian Assange, the actions that have been taken against him. Here, lawyers, doctors, and other professionals who visited Julian Assange, their conversations were recorded. But more than that, their equipment was taken, their telephones and their computers, and they were gone through. Now, this started happening in 2017. Before that, we had thought that the surveillance of the embassy was to protect Julian. But we found out through a lawsuit that was brought in Spain that starting in 2017, the lawsuit had completely, the type of surveillance that was going on had completely changed. And now the surveillance was on a level that has been unheard of in this country and unheard of anywhere in the world, that you would record and take information about conversations, about what plans were being drawn up, about specifically about the health of Julian and about what was going to be the defense at trial. Now, you're not allowed to do this. This absolutely violates the concept of justice in this country. And what caused this? How did we reach this level of hatred, of disobedience of law when it comes to Julian Assange? Well, it's significant that it began in 2017 because that was the year that Pompeo came into authority. And Pompeo's very first speech was that he considered Julian and WikiLeaks a non-state hostile intelligence agency. Now, to say that was an explanation that Julian had no rights left to him, that they could go in, they could kill him. Anything they wanted to do was fair game. And that is something that is so astounding to our level of understanding of justice in this country, that that was the cause of this lawsuit. He allowed what happened to happen. And his effect was so outrageous that he deserves to really suffer under this lawsuit, and I don't know that he's going to suffer enough. He was served in an embarrassing way, and he was very unhappy about how he was served. He was served publicly, and we got footage of him being served, and we were very thrilled about that. But This lawsuit is not only a lawsuit about how far that the government can go, but it also is an example of what they have carried out against Julian all along. The attitudes towards Julian, the use of the press to indict him illegally, all of the things that the searches that have been done of his lawyers, all of the actions that have been carried out against him, which were COINTELPRO actions that you'll hear about later on, that COINTELPRO was used against Julian. And he is considered an enemy and treated as an enemy in the most, where he has not committed any crime. The only thing he has done is reveal the truth. And to have someone suffer and to treat someone so vilely for telling the truth is really astounding. And we hope that this lawsuit will reach out to people in this country and begin to explain to them what has been done to Julian Assange. And we hope that it will have an effect that a lawsuit cannot be brought. Then Julian will not be extradited, and he will not be tried in this country, and he will be freed because he should be.
Next up, Stefania Maurizi. She's an investigative journalist currently contributing to the major Italian daily, Il Fatto Quotidiano, after working for the last 14 years for La Repubblica, consistently rated among the top two Italian newspapers, and for L'Espresso, the most important Italian news magazine. Stefania worked with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks since 2009, teaming up with teams of international media to cover and investigate all WikiLeaks secret documents, from the secret files on the war in Afghanistan called the Afghan War Logs to the U.S. diplomacy cables, Cablegate, from the files on the Guantanamo prisoners called Gitmo files, on up to the most recent revelations about the European military mission against boats traveling from Libya to Italy, smuggling migrants and refugees, and the espionage activities against French and European leaders by the National Security Agency. Her book is just out in English. It's called Secret Power, WikiLeaks and Its Enemies. This is Stefania.
It is a great honor to be a member of this Belmarsh Tribunal. As an investigative journalist, I'm not here to make any grand statement about this case. I'm here to provide some solid evidence, I would say forensic evidence, of extremely suspicious facts about the prosecution of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. I have been there since the very beginning. My first media partnership with WikiLeaks was in 2009, and since then I have worked on all their documentation. I can assure you that this work hasn't gained me any powerful friends in high places. Quite the opposite. It set me on a collision course with my former newspaper, from which I had to resign in order to keep doing my work on WikiLeaks. What I have seen in the course of my journalistic work on this case has deeply disturbed me. I have been stunned by the state criminality documented in the files, by the impunity that war criminals and torturers enjoy in our democracies. I have been shocked that whistleblowers and journalists who reveal war crimes do not have a place to hide in our democratic societies. From 2010 on, Assange sought every possible refuge. He shut himself in an embassy and sought protection in asylum. He knocked at the door of the United Nations Working Group. He knocked at the door at the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture. Nothing and no one was able to prevent the ruin of his physical and mental health. That is why I have engaged in a trench warfare, I call trench warfare, to unearth the truth about this case, litigating an FOI case in the United States, in United Kingdom, Sweden, and Australia, represented by 7 lawyers, because 4 governments not just denied me access to this documentation, but they have used all legal resources and tactics to prevent me to access this documentation. I'm sure you know that in the current attempt to extradite Julian Assange from the United Kingdom to the United States, the US authorities are acting through a public authority, British public authority, called the Crown Prosecution Service. This is the very same authority through which the Swedish prosecutor tried to extradite Julian Assange in connection with the rape allegations. The Swedish investigation was dropped once and for all in 2019, after remaining in the preliminary stage for 9 years with no charge whatsoever. My FOI litigation has allowed revealing that it was the Crown Prosecution Service that trapped Julian Assange in a legal and diplomatic quagmire which has kept him arbitrarily detained for a decade. Why did they provide this legal advice? It was an advice that destroyed any chance of justice for anyone. It cost the British taxpayers £13.2 million, and it basically destroyed his health and his physical and mental health. When I tried to dig into this, I discovered incredible things, like that the Crown Prosecution Service destroyed key documents about the Swedish case. Why they did so? They did it when Sir Keir Starmer was heading the Crown Prosecution Service. I discovered this in November 2017. I shared this information with the Guardian Pulitzer Prize, Ewan McCaskill, and we published this revelation. A month after these revelations, I went to the embassy to discuss this with Julian Assange. Well, I discovered that my devices were secretly accessed, my phone unscrewed, and the SIM card extracted, and our conversation recorded, and so on. Nothing is normal in this case. Nothing is normal. In the United States, Australia, and Sweden, I have run up against the same pushback. When last year I appealed to the Swedish Parliamentary Ombudsman for an investigation into the highly anomalous handling of the documentation on the Julian Assange case, the Parliamentary Ombudsman refused to open an investigation and refused to provide any explanation. This month, I discovered new information, but I'm not allowed to discuss it publicly at this stage due to the ongoing litigation. I want to close these remarks with an appeal to the American public and media. I'm aware that you are dealing with so much right now, but this case marks a point of no return for the United States and for our democratic societies. I come from a country, Italy, which invented fascism. A few things mark the sliding of a society into fascism than the destruction of freedom of the press and the destruction of the right of the public to know what our government does with our money and in our name. In an authoritarian society, you cannot reveal war crimes, torture, and state criminality at the highest level, as Julian Assange did, and remain free and safe. They kill you. In a democracy, it must be possible. This is why we must win this case and free Julian Assange. There are only a few months left. Thank you.
What you just heard were some of the remarks delivered at the Bill Marsh Tribunal, D.C., the case of Julian Assange, held in Washington, D.C. in January 2023, organized by Progressive International and the WOW Holland Foundation. Julian Assange is WikiLeaks founder who exposed war crimes committed by U.S. forces in Iraq. During the next episode of Arab Voices, I plan to air more testimonies delivered at that tribunal. You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Did you know that this program, Arab Voices, has been on the air since April 2002? That's right, over 20 years of weekly Arab Voices programming. Over 1,000 programs covering different topics with more than 1,000 expert guests appearing on this show from around the globe. All of that has been possible because of your support to KPFT, Houston's community station, our community radio station. And it is time for the membership drive. Please call right now to support KPFT at 713-526-5738 and make a tax-deductible contribution or make it online at kpft.org. Every dollar counts. Think of the value you get out of KPFT and really for everyone who listens. We know that not everyone can contribute, but if you can and appreciate what KPFT brings you every day, please consider a pledge, because KPFT relies on you, the listeners, for support. The phones are open. There is room for your call. Help keep up the momentum. Call 713-526-5738. It's not too late. 713-526-5738 or donate online at kpft.org. We greatly appreciate the support. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.